Welcome to Bookshelf, bringing you stories of local literary luminaries and some great books to read. My name is Raina Menashe, and I'll be your host for this segment. Today I'm speaking with author Catherine Cloward about Father Joe Carroll's recently released memoir, Father Joe, Life Stories of a Hustler Priest. In this book, Father Joe shares his unique journey from a kid in Brooklyn to a beloved icon in San Diego and beyond. Catherine Cloward, who has known Father Joe her entire life, describes being asked by him to write his book as one of her greatest honors. Today we have Catherine. Welcome. It's a pleasure having you on Bookshelf.
Hi, thanks, Raina. I'm happy to be here.
The initial interview is going to be with you and Father Joe. So let's begin with a little bit of information about why Father Joe couldn't make it.
Sure. Well, he wishes he could be on this interview today. You know, Father Joe loves sharing and talking with people, but he just had a surgery a few weeks ago and he's in recovery, home recovery right now. And the focus is on his health and getting better and healing. And so, you know, he joyfully loves anyone talking about the book. And so I'm grateful for the opportunity to talk with you about the books and, you know, on his behalf, the best as I can, as shared in Father Joe, Life Stories of a Hustler Priest.
And when he gets better, we'll have to bring him on again.
Oh gosh, he would love that.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go to the title of the book. If you could sum up for anyone who might not know him, if there is anyone, who Father Joe is and how he was first named the Hustler Priest.
Oh, yes. Father Joe, as you said in the intro, he is an icon in San Diego, and he is known. His name is on buildings all around San Diego, Father Joe's villages. We see his trucks. I was just driving the other day on the 163 here in San Diego, and I was driving behind a Father Joe's villages truck. So what this Father Joe Life Stories of a Hustler Priest shares is really a nice full spectrum vantage of a man named Joe Carroll, Father Joe Carroll. He's a Monsignor in the Catholic Church. And when he was assigned to take over what at the time is called St. Vincent de Paul Center, Bishop Maher at the time just selected Father Joe. He came into the office, said, okay, I've got a new assignment for you. And basically just told him he was going to be in charge of St. Vincent de Paul. They had this parking lot, empty lot in downtown, and they wanted a quote unquote homeless shelter to be built on there. And Father Joe was like, no, I'm a parish priest, and you'll read all about this in the book. And he said, why me? Why do you want me to do this? And Bishop Maher said, well, because I asked, you know, a few other people and everyone said you were the biggest wheeler dealer hustler in San Diego. So that's kind of like where it started. And we talk about hustler, really it's this entrepreneurial spirit, his Father Joe, and you'll read that throughout the book. And you know, as he shared with me in the interviewing process of this entire book, you know, that mindset, that entrepreneurial mindset to go, if there's a will to make money, there's a way. And so he translated that over into all the work that he's done to help San Diegans. And it's evident in how wonderfully robust the development has been for what is now known as Father Joe's Villages.
Sounds like a man of enormous energy.
Yes. And I think he'd be so happy for me to say this, but he also always surrounded himself with wonderful people. I mean, he's the leader. He had the vision and he had to get people on board with the vision. But he also always will always give credit. And that's very evident in the book to all the people who were around him that got on board and wanted to help. So it was like this beautiful ripple effect of he created like this solution, this idea that he had and how it could be different. And then people got on board with that. And then there's some people, Raina, who have been volunteering their time, donating the resources from day one of this project. It's absolutely incredible. So he'll always give credit to everybody around, the people who worked on the staff, the volunteers, the donors, and also the people who came through the villages and transformed their own lives as well.
I can't help thinking both magnetic and humble.
Yes, yes. Very determined too. I think that's one of the things is he's definitely a humble hero in many aspects, but he also talk to anybody who's ever worked with him. You know, he is adaptable to other people's ideas, but also his idea, he had to be driven in that knowing that this was the direction they needed to go that was a little different. And then as they went in that direction, as they got on board and started walking down that path, was very confident in what he was seeing that people needed. You know, Father Joe, his background is in education. And so the awareness that he needed to be educated more on how to help people was right out the gate. And then realizing education was empowerment. So that's why a lot of the programs that his team and he put together for the villages were very focused on helping transform lives through education and empowerment, all rooted in dignity and respect.
That's amazing. That brings me to my next question. He chose to be a priest. He's been a priest so far for 47 years, more than half his life. Why a priest? How did he become a priest in the first place? And how did he end up being called a Shabbos Goy, as you describe in the book?
One of the really fun, just sitting and talking with Father Joe, you know, in Father Joe, Life Stories of a Hustler Priest, how this book came about is that I just sat with him for a year and a half. He just talked and we shared and I listened. We started this process when he was 78 years old. He's 80 now. And so he was reflecting a lot on his life. So when you read the book, you know, he wants people to know who he is as the whole person. And so he grew up in the Bronx, big family, loving family. They grew up in a two-bedroom apartment, 8 people in this two-bedroom apartment, right? And everybody in the building was very neighborly, which brings about the whole village mentality. It was like being raised by a village. And here's the thing, you'll read this in the book, is everyone told Joey Carroll, that's what he's named, Joey Carroll. Everyone was told Father Joe that he'd be a priest. And he was adamant to not be a priest because everyone told him that he'd be. So, and of course, God had a plan for him. So he became a priest and was ordained in 1974. But as a Shabbos Goy, you know, the entrepreneurial spirit that we talked about, Rena, is when he was growing up, because their family, he always just had that mindset to make money, to earn, to provide. They needed extra money. So he started working when he was 8 years old. And he always came up with these entrepreneurial ideas. And one of which was in the Bronx, is a very eclectic community. And he grew up actually about a block-ish away from his Catholic church, but also there were about 4 different synagogues within the radius of where he lived. And so the Shabbos Goy, which is one of my favorite stories in the book, is where he came up with this kind of business plan that he helped out his Jewish neighbors on their Sabbath, which is from sundown Friday night to sundown Saturday, where part of their tradition is that they are unable to work during that time. So even turning on lights, running to the grocery store, any kind of task was work. So they needed somebody to do that. So a Shabbos Goy is a Gentile, like a non-Jew, who helps the Jewish community. So he did that every weekend. The thread of that, which is just so beautiful, because I love how, you know, divinely things connect, Reina, is when he started, when Father Joe's Villages, which was originally St. Vincent de Paul Center, started, one of the first groups that started volunteering, that's been volunteering all these years, that is mentioned in the book, is an organized group of volunteers that came out of Congregation Beth Israel. They've been volunteering for decades. And so, you know, Father Joe has always been, I would say, universally inclusive, like, you know, the common good. He once said to me, you know, Catherine, we all agreed that helping people in poverty, helping the homeless mattered. We all agreed on that. We came together and we've been doing it ever since. It's just a beautiful legacy for San Diego.
It really is. It's a beautiful story. And I could picture it as you're talking. See him in the Bronx.
Yes.
I know that he talks about the homeless shelters of the 1980s, that they were very institutional, meaning, quote, 3 hots in a cot, unquote. Tell me why his concept of a one-stop shop was so radical compared to today.
Yes. Well, I think that's probably one of the driving points in Father Joe, Life Stories of a Hustler Priest, the book, that comes out, is his awareness that something different was needed. Mm-hmm. When he was tasked by the bishop to take over St. Vincent de Paul and to, quote unquote, build a shelter, he didn't know anything about housing people, sheltering people. So he decided to get educated. And so he did the wise thing. And he found out, he toured different shelters around the United States. He investigated. And it wasn't, we didn't have the internet then. There wasn't like, you couldn't do like a report by Googling. Uh-huh. He had to ask questions, talking to people. So he was very diligent in his research of what's going on, what's the status. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that was important for him that he discovered right away was that it wasn't just men who were homeless, that it was entire families, women and children. And at the time, women and children just weren't visible, right? Because in his mindset, he just saw kind of men who were homeless. Once he realized and discovered that women and children, entire families are homeless, he's like, okay, we need that. We need to help everybody. So that everybody mentality came in, and his, you know, dating back to the Bronx of how everybody lived together in a village mentality. He wanted to do it all under one roof, which nobody was doing, right? Men should be at one, women another, but they were families. So this concept of housing everybody together was revolutionary at the time. And also at the time, you referenced three hots and a cot. That was the traditional quote unquote homeless shelter model. And what Father Joe wanted was dignity in housing, right? He wanted it to be nice. You know, that it wasn't some abandoned warehouse that they transitioned over to like this, you know, come in for the night and leave in the day. He wanted it to feel like home so that people could have a breather, because to transform lives, it's in the book too. I don't want to tell you everything is in the book, but what you'll hear that he shares is that none of us can change habit overnight, right? And so if we can really help people empower themselves out of poverty, out of the circumstances that they found themselves in, which is for a number of reasons, it's not ours to even know that we have to give them time and to feel the sense of relief,
right?
To have a compassionate relief. And that is how he saw the villages as being different. He didn't want it to be some abandoned warehouse. It was revolutionary to build a brand new building specifically for housing. This was completely not what was happening at the time. And so people around the United States, people were, and not internationally too, you'll read about an award they got internationally because of this building that the Joan Kroc Center that they built. Nobody was doing this. But he believed in it, Raina, so wholeheartedly, that this is what should be. Brand new building, beautiful, like people feel at home, and that it provides dignity for the children. And I want to point this out. Father Joe has a real heart for youth because he was raised in a big family and he's always been involved in Boy Scouts and youth group and everything, that he wanted children to walk into their housing, whether they're going to be there for 24 hours or a few months or longer, that they feel not like, oh, we have to stay here.
Right.
But it was like, wow, we get to stay here. It raises the, you know, the energy of it. And it allows mom and dad to have children see their parents differently. And that was so important to him. And anybody who's worked at Father Joe's Villages, St. Vincent de Paul Center, all the way up to now Father Joe's Villages, that is a dignity baseline that they have maintained all these years. I think it's just so beautiful and speaks to his heart for everybody, all ages. You know, Father Joe is a cheerful scout. He's a happy guy and he wants children to know that they can be and be empowered to be whatever they want. They just need the space. And just like adults, they need the time to transform their own lives if they choose to. And that's what he wanted to, that's what they created effectively was a program where people could come in and have the compassionate relief to transform their lives with their support.
He's changed everything. Okay, so we've talked about Father Joe's Villages, but he also created the Joshua House for AIDS patients and the Tucson Academy. Now, which of those is he most proud of and why, if there is one?
I would say those are both very important stories to read about in the book.
Okay.
It shows his heart for people, Raina. And Joshua House, that was actually something that Sister Faye Hagen brought to the attention of Father Joe that was needed in San Diego at the time. She was very involved in St. Vincent de Paul Center, Joan Kroc Center. And she had a friend who had AIDS. This was the 80s. And the church wasn't doing much about helping AIDS at the time. And nobody really knew what was needed at that time. And so she really brought that to his attention. And he brought that to the bishop's attention. And next thing you know, developed Joshua House. And I think that story is really important because it also shows just like the compassion and love that the team put together to help people have dignified respite. And most people who came to Joshua House, they didn't leave, you know, they didn't move on. The Catholic Church stepped up during that time. And I think sometimes we forget the press often shines a light on negative stories, but there's so many positive stories that come out of people who are committed to helping other people. And many of those are right here in San Diego, energized in the Catholic community and part of St. Vincent de Paul Center and Father Joe's Villages. Toussaint, I'd love to talk about that. He is very proud of Toussaint. So I think if I could summarize, speak for him, he's proud of the people. He's proud of people and how people have transformed their lives. But there were multiple occasions, Raina, when I was sitting with him in our interview sessions, and there would be an email that came through or somebody called through to tell him about another Toussaint graduate who just got their medical degree, or another Toussaint graduate who, you know, fill in the blank, had been empowered. And Toussaint was a school. He found teenagers were often kind of that bridging space between children being cared for and by the
foster care,
by the government. Yeah, right.
Yeah, and they age out.
And so there was a real need for teenage respite and empowerment. And that's what Toussaint was. And he's very proud of that. And even though that program was shut down after he retired, he's proud of everybody who came through Toussaint. Beautiful stories of transformation of people's lives.
Wonderful. Yeah, it sounds like he noticed all the gaps, all the places that there were opportunities and the needs weren't being met exactly. And he rose to the occasion.
Yes. Like oftentimes the big question, a few times you read in the book that it'll say like, well, why aren't we doing that? Why isn't that happening? Uh-huh. Why isn't that the way it's being done? And often the answer was, oh, we don't have funding for it. We don't have money for that. He's right. Like, okay. So the only thing standing between a solution happening and where we are now is money. Great. Let's raise some more money.
Let's do it.
So he was solution oriented for the good of all people. Mm-hmm. And it was always, you know, hustling to raise money. And it wasn't for him. It was for everybody else.
Right.
You know,
right.
He's lived a very humble life. He lives in a very, very modest home across the street from, you know, the Villages. He lives a very humble life. And everything that he has done has been for other people, you know, to help empower our neighbors. You know, he's adamant about the word neighbors in need, you know, because everyone is our neighbor, just as we learn through the teachings of the Bible that he references.
And you mentioned dedication to the Boy Scouts. You want to mention a little bit more about his connection to the Boy Scouts?
Yes. Here's the thing, Raina. You talk to different people who know Father Joe, right? You bring up Father Joe's name and somebody's like, I know him. And they have this wonderful story about him, his impact on his life, and a tremendous impact he has had on the lives of people is through scouting, through Boy Scouting and Girl Scouting. He was a Boy Scout. So he, at his parish, when he was growing up, he got involved in the Boy Scouts. He attached to that wholeheartedly, you know, the character development, the earning badges. Boy Scouts have been a part of his life since he was very young. So you'll learn in the book that even when he came out to California for seminary, some of the gentlemen who were in seminary with him, he became a lone scoutmaster to help those teenagers get their Eagle Scout. So he became a scoutmaster in seminary. And so being involved in Boy Scouting is massive. And that's one of the main connections my family has to him and that I remember him a lot was because my dad and my brothers all went on jamboree trips with him and were involved with him in Boy Scouts.
I was going to ask you, yeah.
Yeah. How I know him is he was our parish priest to start out. When he got ordained in 74, he came to Our Lady of Grace with his first parish assignment in San Diego. And that's where my family, that was our family's parish. And so I was born in May of that year. He came in July. So that's why I've known him my whole life. It hasn't been a constant thread, you know, there's been a whole life. But as far as, you know, my mom started out as his Boy Scout secretary. And then when he took over St. Vincent de Paul, she became his secretary. And then my brothers and dad were involved in Boy Scouts. So that's a common thread that is part of the book. And even last summer, I remember, you know, anytime there was an Eagle Scout Award, Raina, in San Diego, and he got an invitation, he would do everything he possibly could to show up to honor the accomplishments of youth doing extraordinary things. He finds great value in that. So Boy Scouts is important to him and is a common thread throughout his entire life.
It sounds like you were the perfect person to write the book.
Thank you for saying that. But I think, you know, everything lines up the way it's supposed to in intervention. And I was just actually telling him, Raina, I write a whole series of books and music for youth called Catherine the Grape. And the whole series is on the premise of this nickname that I got when I was 11 years old. And I got that nickname because I wore purple every day.
And you still purple, do.
I do. I'm wearing it right now. And the purple outfit that I wore every day that was my favorite outfit, Raina, was this tracksuit, sweatsuit. I think we called them sweatsuits at the time, that my mom bought on her lunch break at the St. Vincent de Paul thrift store. So this tracksuit that my illustrated character wears is a replica of that outfit. So a few years ago, when I ran into Father Joe at a fundraising event that I was at with my mom, I was telling him about this tracksuit and the series. And we were just talking. He asked me what I did and I told him. And next thing you know, he just sat there and nodded his head because I was telling him, you know, about my heart for helping empower people, helping empower youth and adults through the books and songs I write. And then he sat there and then he said, I have a book I want you to write, Catherine. And next thing you know, off we went. And so he asked me to write for him. And that's where it started. And, you know, truly to be able to simplify his story. And that's what you get with this book. There were a few other books that were in process in the past that never came to light. They never published. They never finished. And I can see why, to be frank, Raina. He has a big story. And like in right. Father Joe's life, this isn't the point by point, decision by decision, you know, year by year biography. That would be overwhelming. This is this beautiful overview look at a man's life for some of his, you know, key stories that he likes to tell. But you learn about his childhood, you learn about seminary, you learn about some of these funny, shady things that he likes to do, you know, how he made money and the, you know, priesthood. And then obviously the development of what is now known as Father Joe's Villages. But all along, you learn about the mindset of this man, the heart of this man. And we all have stories of our lives that are similar in the sense of how the dots of our life connect. And that's what this book does. It kind of shows these dots to these decisions that he made in his life and that he was guided to by God to fulfill his purpose. And he's done it so beautifully and humbly. And has helped so many people. And in writing for him, you know, technically most people I would normally be, let's say, a ghostwriter, right? Because I wrote the book in his voice.
Right.
And normally when someone's in a public view, when you would have a ghostwriter. Mm-hmm. And the difference here is there's no ghost about it. You know that I wrote it. And, you know, that's a soft testament to he wanted me to have credit for what I did. And that, you know, I did it with honor and wrote it in his voice. And, you know, we had to pick out which stories were the ones that, you know, really wanted to share. And that might have been the biggest thing is to narrow down, to understand this man's whole life and then go, okay, let's narrow it down to these stories to share with people so that everyone gets an overview, you know, of who he is. And I think it's a beautiful overview. It's inspirational. It's funny. And he approved every word. So I would write a section. I'd come in, read it to him. He's like, oh, I like that. Oh, that's great. You know, and then he would be like, I said that. I was like, oh yeah. You know, so word by word, section by section, or story by story, as you say. So I think the book is wonderful for people of all ages to read, you know, college students who are thinking of the entrepreneurial path, or how do you take an idea and make it into material form? How do you help inspire people with your idea when you can't see it, right? He had to believe it to get other people mm-hmm. to see it years before it was even built.
Yeah.
And
you obviously love this whole project and every piece of it.
I did. On a personal level, you know, my dad had passed. That's why I was at the fundraiser with my mom when I talked to him about the purple outfit. My dad had passed in 2015. And so I was doing a lot of different things with my mom. So I was her plus one at this fundraiser. And so for me on a personal level, you know, when I started doing all of this with Father Joe, the premise, of course, was for me interviewing him, getting all the data I needed to be able to do this project. But we talked you hit record, and then there were just these conversations. So he filled for me over the past few years this wonderful space of, he knows my dad. His mindset's very similar to what I'd say my dad, kind of like solution oriented, compassionate. And so he filled a beautiful space in my life that I'll always remember joyfully. But I encourage anybody to pick up the book, Father Joe, Life Stories of a Hustler Priest, because it's a quick read, it's an easy read, and I believe that you'll find some inspiration for your own life through reading about Father Joe's life.
These are really lovely stories. Thank you so much for sharing them with us. I do want to ask one more question.
Sure.
I know that Father Joe has recently celebrated his 80th birthday. What does he hope to do next if he's able to move about the community? Does he have any other dreams or plans that he would like to try to accomplish? Or is he ready to retire and just kind of enjoy that?
Well, he technically retired in 2011.
Technically, yeah.
So he's not necessarily, you know, as far as like from Father Joe's villages, they have their own thing. But, you know, he's very present. You know, he loves being present and with scouting and efforts that are helping our homeless neighbors in need be empowered. So that's always ongoing. You know, he's been lending his expertise to a few different organizations as well. His nephew started a partner in a company called Sleepy Bear, and Father Joe has been hustling to help his nephews, you know, get this product out into the world. But Sleepy Bear, that these a lot of people are challenged with sleeping and having a restful night is directly interconnected to all of our mental well-being and mental health. And so the Sleepy Bear product is a melatonin CBD non-addictive forming sleep aid. And so Father Joe has been helping him, you know, just getting the word out about that. And so that entrepreneurial spirit I was saying,
right,
it's in the Carol blood. It's in
everything he does. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and he'll say like, hey, you know, I can open the door. I can make the introduction, but Patrick and his partners have to be able to, you know, it's their product. They have to move it, but he believes in it. And, you know, my mom actually has used it because she has some trouble sleeping. And, you know, it's kind of funny because, when he believes in something and he talks about it, it's like, oh my gosh, I should have known about this. So yeah, he's been doing that. And I think he loves hearing about what's going on in people's lives. When he gets a letter from somebody who says, hey, you said my wedding back in 1982 and my husband and I are still married and blah, blah, blah. Those kind of stories, he constantly read me things, emails, cards, letters that he received from people who he may not necessarily remember the whole story. These people remembered his impact. And I think that's part of the legacy of Father Joe. And you read it about in the book is that we are all touching each other's lives. Mm-hmm. And he's touched lives. Those lives have touched other lives. And so that's how we help each other grow. And we help each other grow and be empowered by being loving and respectful and kind to each other, giving people that compassion and compassionate relief. So that's why I wrote the children's book version of Father Joe's Six Golden Seeds. So these, like, how do we help each other grow? We help plant seeds in each other. And so for people who have children in their lives and they want to introduce Father Joe to their children, grandchildren, students, youth group, whatever, we have Father Joe's Six Golden Seeds, which is the calf and the grape, the story that shares about Father Joe. So now we have a book that teens and adults can read as well as youth. So the hope, of course, is for his legacy to continue in all these different ways now and for down the line, and not for his own, he'll always say it's not for like his glory. It's for how can we help each other? We help each other through compassion, through dignity, through respect, through empowering each other.
Oh, well, that's a perfect way to end this interview. It was great talking with you. Thank you so much, Catherine, for joining us. It was really a pleasure having you and Father Joe on Bookshelf. Yes.
And thank you so much for having, I mean, this is just, you know, in this day and age, to be able to speak and share on podcasts, we thank you for doing this podcast and allowing Father Joe's story to be shared like this. So much gratitude to you, Raina, and your team.
For further information on Father Joe's memoir, please visit FatherJoeHustlerPriest.com. And for further information on author Catherine Cloward, please visit CatherineCloward.com. That's spelled KatherineCloward. And thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Again, this is Raina Menashe, and you have been listening to East County Magazine's Bookshelf, bringing you stories of local literary luminaries and some great books to read.